The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kay Murray and Shaka Hislop here with you in the studio. A little later, we'll be hearing from Jurgen Klinsmann on Bayern Munich's opening day draw with Gladbach in the Bundesliga. But we will start with Premier League action. Brentford up against Arsenal, the newly promoted Brentford, with a 2-0 win, scoring their first ever Premier League goals, the second of which came from a throw-in that caused a little bit of chaos in the box. But welcome to the Premier League, Brentford, who have hit the ground running. Frank Leboeuf and Stuart Robson joining us now. Stu, what happened today to Arsenal?
Well, again, they didn't play particularly well. They had a lot of play. You just saw the stats there. They had 22 shots, but there wasn't a real cutting edge when they got it into the top third. They relied very much on their left-back Tierney to get forward down the left-hand side and get crosses in. Emil Smith-Rowe played very well as the number 10, but the two centre-halves had a problem. Brentford played with two up front. Even Tony, the big striker, won too many balls in the air. And Bueno kept on running off the back of him and caused real problems. The two centre-halves for Arsenal didn't cope with it. Mari, I thought, was really poor. And Ben White, who's been bought in for a lot of money, yes, he might be good on the ball, but you have to be dominant as a centre-half. And I'd be interested to know what Shaka thought about the second goal when the throw-in comes in. Leno got himself pinned at the near post and didn't even make any sort of effort to get the ball. So Arsenal didn't play particularly well, but they dominated possession. They had 22 shots. There'll be better days for Arsenal. And of course, they didn't have Aubameyang playing or Lacazette, who were ill before the game. Not a great performance from them.
Go on then, Shaka. What did you make of that moment?
Listen, as a keeper, once you get pinned in like that, as Leno was, there's not an awful lot you can do from there. You can back off onto your line, but you are hoping for your defence to bail you out. As I said during the highlight, you as a defender, how that ball is allowed to drop in that way is simply beyond me. Arsenal had bodies around it and couldn't do much. I'm remiss to point the finger at Leno. I'm always remiss to point the finger at the goalkeeper saying that. But I certainly don't blame Leno in this instance. So.
Frank, what a start from Brentford.
That was fantastic. And first, let me congratulate the Bees fans, you know, Shaka just mentioned that when Saka came on, what they did to that young guy is absolutely fantastic. And, it made me feel very, very happy when I saw that, because it shows that the world is not that stupid, it's not that terrible, and the majority of people are smart people and understand football and understand human rights. So I was very happy to see that. And for Brentford, you know, I used to live next to that small city close to London, and since 1947, I think, they've been waiting to go back to the Premier League, and the first game was absolutely fantastic. It's a typical, you know, English fighting spirit. You give everything, like you can die on the field, you know, and it's what they did. They've been convincing. They did what they had to do, and maybe because of Arsenal weaknesses, they ended up, you know, winning. But all credits to those players and the coach for the first game, because they really did what they had to do to win that game.
Julien Laurent joining us now. Some might say an Arsenal apologist. I wonder what he's got to say about this result today.
I can't wait to hear this.
Jules, Mikel Arteta, how will this be seen? Is he in trouble after this result?
Not after this result, no, not after the first game of the season. The problem is they've got Chelsea and Manchester City coming up, so you could easily find yourself with 0 points after three games. The issue for me is that last season we saw already on defensive set pieces, they struggled in the first half of the season, they addressed it. For the second half of the season, they did a little bit better, but tonight that's what cost them again, two goals on set pieces. The second one, really at this level, is unforgivable. They've got a new set pieces coach, by the way, that they went to poach at Manchester City, Arteta's former club, and clearly he hasn't really improved. And if you can't defend better than that on set pieces against a team like this as well, really strong, really good in the air, really good on set pieces, you will always struggle. And yeah, you can have a lot of the ball. At times we saw some good movement. We saw them getting into the final third again. They do that a lot. Last season they got 42% of the ball in the opposition third, but you do nothing with it. And that's the problem. And yeah, of course, Lacazette and Aubameyang not being there is a big blow because Balogun is still very young. And after that, you don't have another number nine. So you play false number nine with Pepe, you play Martinelli there. It's not good enough, but still they should have used the ball much better in the opposition last third.
Robbo, you look confused there.
No, I thought Jules is absolutely right. They didn't defend set plays quite well enough. That's just my normal face, Kate. You know, that's a real worry that you mentioned that. But no, I thought that Arsenal, and I was on with Jules on these podcasts the other day, and we were talking about Ben White having to be the leader. He's come in for £50 million. He's a centre-half. Yes, he's young. Yes, he's good on the ball, but he has to be a leader. Today, he lost out to a bigger player or a player that was really physical, and he didn't cope with it. And I don't think he read the danger particularly well. Sometimes when it was 2v2, when one player's going up to head the ball, the other's got to be round on the cover, and the two centre-halves didn't read the danger, they didn't get the positioning right and didn't play well enough at all, and that's what's cost them in the end.
Robbo, Jules says that Arteta is not under pressure after that opening day result. Should he be?
I don't think he's going to be under pressure after one game. I don't think he should be. He's got to be given maybe 10 games. But if he doesn't get some results after 10 games, the fans will put him under pressure. There's no doubt about that. Then the board will, as boards normally do, take notice of the fans. And he'll be under pressure if they don't get enough wins in the first 10 games. He's a man that's going to be under the scrutiny after this game, but he's got to do much, much better.
Yeah, I think his name's been coming up a lot ahead of the season as well, which is why many eyes will have been on this game. Frank, what were your thoughts on Arsenal's performance today?
Well, they started well the first 15 minutes, but I agree with Robbo. The thing is, when you want to start a season, first you have to look for is to be strong defensively, and the two central half didn't show any strength enough, I would say, to make sure that you can settle down and start your offensive actions, and little by little we saw them not going anywhere except maybe Tierney and Smith Rowe. We didn't see players, you know, finding something special to go and overtake, you know, Brentford and try to score a goal. There was nothing but like. I would have said, like last season, like, you know, at a certain time they can do something, but they're not good enough. We have the tendency, because Arsenal is a big club, because Arsenal has a big history, that we always think that the players who wear their shirt are good enough to keep that level. No, the team, the squad of Arsenal right now, doesn't deserve to be more than, I would say, seventh or eighth this season, because they're not good enough. You have talented players, but overall, you don't have a team, a squad, to finish in the first seven.
Let's talk about the other club in North London, Jules. I want to get the latest on Harry Kane. Is it true that City really are willing to pay £150 million for the player?
Well, we know for sure that they haven't given up on trying to sign him. That's a fact. They will prepare another offer. They still have plenty of time, really, to try to get in between now and the end of the transfer window. But we also know that that offer that's coming soon or next has to be in this area of £130 million, of €150 million. Otherwise, there's no way Spurs will sell. I do think, like I've said before on the show, that this deal will happen, that City will put the right offer on the table, and Kane will push again for a move because that's what he wants to do. And I think that Levy and Spurs will open the door for the right offer and that he will go, but this offer has to come and has to come quite soon now to let the negotiations start and then finish and for Spurs to be able to find a replacement for Kane.
Robbo, what are your thoughts on this amount being offered potentially for Harry Kane?
Well, Manchester City have got the money. Harry Kane is a magnificent centre-forward. He's proved it over several years now. As a goal scorer, he's now been added to his game. He can set up play as well. He can drop that little bit deeper. And as Jules said, If Spurs are going to sell him, I think they've got to sell him pretty quickly because they need to replace him and they need to improve their squad. When they sold Gareth Bale for all that money a little while ago, they didn't replace him well enough. They spent the money poorly. They've got to do better this time round. Otherwise, Spurs, having done so well under Pochettino, could drop into mid-table team.
Jürgen Klinsmann's with us, so let's get some Spurs perspective on this. Harry Kane to leave Spurs. Jürgen, I know we've talked about this before. Is it that they should have, that Harry Kane should have the blessing of Tottenham Hotspur after everything he's done for them to move on?
Well, I think Harry Kane has the blessing, especially from the fans, from Spurs, for all that he's done the last 10 years for the club and the goals he scored, the effort he put in, and he put always in 100%. He's captain of England, you know, Kurs comes off a European Championship where they finished runner-up. They're going towards a World Cup in Qatar in 16, 17 months from now. So he's a big-time player. And the fact that they haven't clarified his situation yet, nor Spurs nor Harry, means that he's on the market. So there are negotiations going on, and the most likely negotiations are with Manchester City. And at the end of the day, you know, the closer we get to the end of the transfer window on the 31st of August, they will find a solution and they will get a deal done. You know, I'm really kind of against the transfer window parameters, meaning, you know, the timeline should always be, I mean, the transfer window should be closed by now. When leagues start to play their football already, then the transfer window should have closed a week ago, and that's it. But by keeping it open until 31st of August, it means that, you know, you track that topic now in for the next 2.5 weeks. There's no need for that. If they want to get on a table and they want to negotiate, they can do that any day, any time, and get the deal done. But I think Harry deserves the best for him, in terms of his own career, in terms of doing something that he always wanted to do, if that's what he wants. And I think the Spurs fans are totally behind him.
What will it mean to Spurs to lose him, Jürgen?
I mean, it means, it means emotionally a lot for all the fans, for, I mean, also their hopes, you know, because a few years ago, I mean, we talked about winning the Champions League, almost winning the Champions League, but also winning the Premier League. I mean, they started also well under Mourinho, but then it dropped deeper and deeper. So it's emotionally, it's a very tough one to take for all Spurs fans, because obviously you want to be present in Europe, you want to be part of the Champions League, you want to be a contender for the title. And if he leaves, if he really leaves now the next couple of days or the next 2.5 weeks, that, you know, be realistic, then it's going to be very difficult to find two or three players that can sub him, that can, nobody will be on the same level for right now with him. So it's going to be a very tough season ahead of Spurs, and that makes you sad as a Spurs fan.
Yeah, of course, I can understand that. If City do get Harry Kane, is it over? Is the title chase theirs?
No, I don't think so. No, it's not over. I mean, look at Chelsea with Lukaku. Look at Man United. I think they did well on the market with Jadon Sancho, for example. And so, I mean, are they the favourites? Yes, they are. I mean, City are the favourites, but it's still a long season. It's a very difficult season. The Premier League is a very, very tough cookie to bite. And it's not going to be easy for no team up there.
Well, let's get Robbo's Premier League predictions as we are talking about that.
Who's that?
Nice picture. Is that your son or you, Robbo?
Love that one.
My predictions.
Can I tell you? Can I tell you, I'm 17 at the time, and that's an England under 21 shirt, and I'm 17, and I've got hair, and I look very skinny and... Oh, dear, what on earth is going on there?
When was it, 1912?
Okay, don't be nasty. Don't be nasty. That was 1981.
I'm just having a bit of fun with you, Robbo, and you're looking great.
Okay. Let me try to focus on his predictions because it's...
Are you laughing at Arsenal in six, or is that okay by you, Shaka?
Oh, Arsenal in six? Oh, sorry.
Right, there's a few things to talk about here. So, first of all, Robbo, you're still going for City as champions.
I am, even if they don't get Harry Kane. They were superb last season. They've got a good defensive unit. They've fought well in Grealish. I think he adds something to them. But I think it would be the icing on the cake if they could get Harry Kane, and I think they will win the title. And
how
they're still
close
favourites.
But Chelsea.
Chelsea will be close because I watched a lot of Lukaku last year playing for Inter Milan. He's a much improved player since he went to Italy. Antonio Conte did a brilliant job with him. Not only is he a good goal scorer, he now is good with his back to goal. He's better in the air. He's the all-round centre forward when he's at it. But they need to play in the right sort of system and get the ball into his feet so he can roll defenders. He's an outstanding signing for Chelsea.
Meanwhile, if City do get Kane, is it game over? Shaka.
For me, it is. But I want to ask Rob about Harry Maguire as his player of the year. Yeah. I find that an odd choice, Robbo.
Well, because we got Frank Leboeuf on, I don't always want to talk about forwards. Everybody talks about players of the year being forwards. And sometimes the best players, and if Arsenal were defended better today, they'd have probably won the game. And it was down to the two centre-halves not playing well enough. Harry Maguire, I think, is an excellent player now. I think he'll be even better with Varane next to him. And I think we're going to see the best of him. He's got all these problems behind him of the early start of last year. He had a good Euro Championships. I think he's going to be top player this year and take Manchester United closer to those two teams I just talked about.
Yeah, one of the things that has divided all of you is Romelu Lukaku and Harry Kane in the top score. Who did you go for, Shaka?
I went for Harry Kane.
And what was your reasoning for that?
I expected him to join Manchester City. Given the goals he scores for Spurs in a team like City, I think he gets even more, runs away with his scoring title, in my opinion.
Frank? What are your thoughts on if Harry Kane does go to City? Would that be the title over?
No, I agree with Robbo. I think he's their favourites and I put them in the first spot as well. But no, because it's England. At the end of the day, we know that it's going to be a fight. We know that the big turn of the winter time will be very important and crucial, I would say. So we don't know. We don't know who's going to be injured, who's going to work, how the chemistry is going to work, you know, throughout all the players, you know, who came to a new clubs. So we don't have answers. We don't have answers. And don't forget, because we've been talking about Manchester City, Manchester United, and also Chelsea, but don't forget Liverpool. Liverpool wants a revenge. Van Dijk is back. The old spirit, is, I guess, will be back. So they're going to be also contenders. And it's going to be a big fight like every year it is. So, and I just want to say something. I put as a top scorer, I put Mo Salah. I didn't put either Kane or Lukaku because I think Salah wants to be back to his best.
Yeah, Frank has to be different to the rest of the panel, doesn't it? We like it though, Frank. We like it. Extra time will be coming up. We'll have Frank, Robbo and Shaka, and they will be answering all of your questions there. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Bayern Munich kicked off their Bundesliga campaign with a 1-1 draw away to Borussia Mönchengladbach. Alisson Player with the opening goal for the hosts. Lewandowski getting the equaliser before half-time. There were some wonderful saves from Jan Sommer. And a late penalty decision that did not go the way of Borussia Mönchengladbach. When you consider that Bayern won 8-0 in the opening day of last season, well, today was a very different story.
Yeah, it was a different story to today. I mean, I thought we saw, even if it's just two goals, but we saw overall a very entertaining game, an open game, a game in both teams try to kind of find a decisive piece at the end of the day. I thought, you know, Bayern Munich came out of the halftime locker room. They came out sharp. They came out controlling the game. They created 2-3 good, very, very good chances. But Jan Sommer had something against it. You know, he had a really, really good game, the goalkeeper of Borussia Mönchengladbach. And then from minute 70 on, somehow was really interesting to watch. Borussia Mönchengladbach came up more and more and more. Then they substituted Marcus Thuram in there. Thuram made the Bayern defense really kind of work and look vulnerable in a couple of occasions. And they had their chances. Borussia Mönchengladbach really had their chances to win this game. So overall, I think we saw a very entertaining first Bundesliga match of the new season.
So we're looking at the lineup now, Jürgen. For good or for bad, which players stood out for you today?
No, I mean, Lewandowski is Lewandowski. You know, he's there when you need him, and he scored his first goal of the season right away. He had many more chances. He knows that he should have done that better in the one or other circumstances, but he found his kind of master tonight in Jan Sommer. So that was fine. I think we should expect more from Gnabry and from Sané. These are the big hope for German football over the next couple of years, also going towards Qatar, they're going to the World Cup. You want more from them. You want more decisiveness. You want more drive to goal. They want more opportunities for them. And they haven't shown that tonight enough because everything then lies on the shoulders in creating opportunities on Thomas Müller. And Goretzka was quite calm there as well. So they're going to be okay with that tie, you know, starting the season. They didn't have a cup game last week to get a little bit of a flow, but they still have a lot of work ahead.
Yeah, a lot of work ahead. Before the season kicked off today, Lothar Matthäus actually said that he sees Bayern's vulnerability. He mentioned that he doesn't see them as favourites and that there could be a good opportunity for other teams to take advantage this season. What are your thoughts on that comment?
Yeah, I mean, Lothar in a certain way is right because, you know, if you look at the bench, you know, it's not the bench that they had last year. There's no Alaba, there's no Martinez, there's no Boateng. So there are a couple of experienced players, they're gone. But if they see that kind of as a traumatic situation, they might still react on the transfer market until the 31st of August. And if not, then if they have real issues during the first part of the season, they will go back to the transfer market in January. Now, Bayern Munich is very smart in the way they choose their players and choose especially their backup players. So I can imagine that they get busy on that side. But it's always going to be interesting to see now the next couple of weeks if the other teams, namely RB Leipzig or Borussia Dortmund, understand that situation and go for it. You know, if they, you know, kind of declare themselves clearly as contender for a title. And often they kind of fail in saying clearly out loud, we want to win the German championship. You know, they always say, oh, if we get into the Champions League, it would be great. You know, final four, top four, that would be great. No, you got to declare your goals clearly. And I think Borussia Dortmund and Leipzig have to come out and say clearly, we want to win the title. We want to really give Bayern Munich a fight until the very end. And not only until March, when they start then to run away from everybody else. So it will be interesting to see what Dortmund and Leipzig are doing.
Thanks, Jürgen. More Bundesliga action tomorrow, and we'll get our first look at Borussia Dortmund, who are in action against Eintracht Frankfurt. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. It is hard to ignore the news of what happened just before the eve of La Liga returning. It's Lionel Messi's departure to PSG. One man who's followed his career from the very beginning and commentated on it was Rob Palmer. Here he is with more on everything to do with Lionel Messi.
Like a hurricane, we knew he was coming. He'd blitzed his way through the youth teams. Storm Lionel hit land in 2005. At 17, Barcelona's youngest ever scorer, the first of 672 goals. The boy in the baggy number 30 shirt soon established himself amongst the elite. Seasoned superstars couldn't believe what they were seeing. A Clásico hat-trick, age 19, each goal an equaliser, the last in borrowed time. He was responsible for writing chapter after chapter of footballing history. Messi and Pep Guardiola created a whole new era. When Barcelona claimed the treble in 2009, Messi won his first Ballon d'Or, aged just 22. He'd go on to claim five more and just about every other honour. For a commentator, he was a delight and a challenge in equal measures. Just how do you find the vocabulary to describe sporting genius week in, week out?
Outstanding! It's out of this world!
He was from another planet. The end was so complex, the beginning was so simple. The son of a steelworker who first pledged himself to FC Barcelona by signing the back of a napkin.
Lionel Messi, Rob Palmer now joining Dan and Luis in Barcelona, the man whose voice you just heard and whose voice you will be hearing throughout the season here on ESPN. Dan, I'll send it back out to you.
Thanks, Kay. What a moment it is, because, of course, like me, you grew up watching Rob Palmer call La Liga. And what a moment it is now to be sat alongside you, Rob.
Is that what they call a backhanded compliment?
I think it's just a reminder that you're much older than me. I think that's where we're going. I tell you what, I think we have to re-emphasise here. We've been in Barcelona for the last couple of days. People aren't all wearing black crying about Lionel Messi. As big as a story it is, the show goes on, doesn't it, Rob?
Absolutely. It's very chilled. I had a little run around the Nou Camp today to see what was going on. The stalls are still there, the colours there, people are queuing up, people are buying items. This is, you know, one of the biggest clubs in the world. It reminds me when I started doing Spanish football in 96, Cruyff had gone, the dream team had ended, and everybody thought that was going to be the end of it. And then he brought in Ronaldo, brought in Figo, things changed. We're ready for a new era.
And that's it now, Luis, isn't it? Like, within that dressing room, obviously it is a massive bombshell that's been dropped over the last week. But you've got to turn the page.
Yeah, definitely. But I have to tell you that I was waiting until the last second of it, waiting to see there was a turn back. But no, then I saw Lionel Messi leaving. I saw him wearing the Paris Saint-Germain jersey. And then I thought that was it.
Yes.
I think the worst part was to see him leaving like this. I think no one was expecting something like this. Of course, football is going to continue moving on. You can see the people is not crying around, but definitely it's going to be missed. And we have to wait a little bit to see the fans not remembering about Lionel Messi, because he's been so great for the club. And that, I think that's why we're going to miss him a little bit.
Now, you look at it and you kind of think, right, it could go two ways. Those could now step up and fill the gap and be right, this is my opportunity to shine. Or you can use this as an excuse as to why Barcelona aren't performing. And I suppose that's something we won't really know until the season gets going.
Definitely, and the results. I think that's the most important. If tomorrow Barcelona wins 4-0, probably, they will say, yeah, we will have scored six with Lionel Messi, but at least it's going to be easier to understand why he's not there. The problem is, are they gonna get a good result? They're going to... Yes. Because if you don't get result, everybody's going to ask, why is not Messi here? Why are not having him on the pitch? So it depends. But I'm sure that we're going to see, we can see the 11 possible 11 started. You can see Griezmann, you can see Memphis Depay. You got Pedri, fantastic player, amazing players. And we got Ansu Fati, we got Dembele, we got a fantastic squad. But again, results. Results will tell that this is a fantastic thing or not.
Is it fair to say, when you look at that starting 11, most of the pressure is going to be on Antoine Griezmann, isn't it? Because now's the time.
Everybody's expecting him to step forward and to be the man who is going to lead this team. They've been said that he's been on the shade of Lionel Messi for quite a while. He hasn't been as good as Atletico Madrid. We all know, and he knows as well. But now is the moment. He doesn't have that excuse anymore. I'm not saying that he was using it, but the people was using it. So now is the moment for him to step forward. I think he's done an amazing preseason. So let's see if he can handle it well. I think he's got the potential to do it. And with the likes of Aguero, Memphis Depay, Ansu Fati, Dembele, I think they can do a good job this season and probably put on the side Lionel Messi.
Problem is, it's Real Sociedad on Sunday. This is a team who exceeded all expectations last season. So many quality young players within this team. It's not the side you want for an opener with so much already at stake.
Yeah, Real Sociedad, they're a young, they're a hungry team. Yep. They've got Isak up front. They've got Oyarzabal, who I think is one of the best players in Spain. I'm surprised that he hasn't moved from Real Sociedad. And they are a complete team. They're going to hit the ground running with Barcelona, as you're both saying. We don't quite know what we're going to get with them, do we? I think with Barcelona, though, it's almost going to be like a pop group where they've had the lead singer at the front and the lead singer's gone. It's a chance now for everybody else to come in and harmonise, if you like.
Right, kind of a Spice Girls Take That situation.
You're showing your age now again.
No, yeah. Robbie Williams still hurts me leaving. But when you look at normally, so you think back to 10 years ago when it's Real Madrid and Barcelona, a draw was almost like a defeat because they were just winning every single match. These two teams have kind of come back to the norm now. And for Real Madrid, they have their issues going into the Alaves clash on Saturday in that, obviously, there's no real star player anymore. No offence to Benzema. They've lost, obviously, yeah, Sergio Ramos. Varane has gone as well. They've got a really old midfield. They've got a lot of issues as well.
Definitely, definitely. And with the surround noise of the Super League, what happened with CVC in La Liga, a lot of problems economically, like everybody at the moment around football, football-wise. But it's true that at the end, they always compete. It's a team that you know, yeah, they don't have players at the back. They lost two of the best ones. They don't have players who can score. But at the end, they always compete. Last year, it was a team who wasn't playing well. Champions League wasn't average. But they arrived long on the Champions League. And in the league, they arrived almost with the chances of winning it until the last game. So at the end, you know that with Real Madrid, you got that maybe they are not playing the best way, maybe. But at the end, Kroos, Modric, Benzema, they always shine. And why not? Maybe we can see shine again Gareth Bale, that he's done a good job during the preseason. Why not? Isco is something that I think Ancelotti wants to recover. He played very well last game. So once again, they always compete. So this is a team that is going to try to win every single trophy.
Rob, you'll be calling the Alaves game with Ali tomorrow. You look at this starting 11. Is that good enough to win La Liga?
Absolutely. That's probably good enough to win most leagues around Europe. There are players there that have to step up, don't we? And Gareth Bale, still only 31. He's 3 years younger than Lionel Messi. Hazard, we haven't seen the best of him yet. Isco, what a tremendous player.
If we're just hanging our hat on names.
Names. The players
on paper at their best, they're obviously great. But look, everybody's a bit old. Bale, you don't know what you're getting. You know, Hazard isn't the same Hazard. That would be the concern from a Real Madrid
perspective. Luis said, though, last year they didn't have a bad season. They didn't lose in the last 18 games. There was turmoil going on there. They've lost Zidane, the manager there. But if they can function, and under Ancelotti as well, they've got a great diplomat. I was listening to his press conference today. He gave absolutely nothing away whatsoever, did he? He used a straight bat all the way down. But they are going to be a team to be reckoned with. And they've got players there that have got a massive point to prove. And maybe now there are fans inside the stadium again. That is going to take them to the next level. Maybe that is why they were underperforming last year.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Meanwhile, over in Paris, it is Messi, Neymar and Mbappe as the front line, and L'Equipe rightly calling them the new Galacticos. And you can understand why, especially with the hefty price tags on these players and the salaries that they will be earning too. But there's been a lot of talk about whether Mbappe is actually happy with this setup. In fact, Jules, in Spain, they're trying to say that he's not very happy to be part of this front three, wants to be a star in his own right and wants to come to La Liga sooner rather than later. But it seems that some of these reports might not be from the most credible journalists.
Well, yeah, and some of them were also saying that he didn't like any of the tweets on Messi's arrival from the club, etc. Kylian Mbappe, and we will say it again, he's not going to move anywhere this summer whatsoever. Then, of course, next year, next summer is a different story, whether he extends his contract, which runs out in a year time or not. But right now, he's staying put. We saw him welcoming Leo Messi at the training ground. We saw the smiles, we saw the hugs and everything. I don't think Kylian Mbappe is unhappy by the team that he will have with him at PSG this season. There's no doubt that playing with Neymar and Messi and Verratti and Wijnaldum and Hakimi and all the others makes him happy. What's true, though, is that he lacks the limelight, of course. We know his ego and his confidence. And, of course, having to share that, not just with Neymar now, but with Messi as well, having to share the ball as well with Neymar and Messi might not be the way he was thinking the season was going to go. But, again, I think He's focused on this season in Paris and winning the Champions League. And then after that, it's a different story. But right now, this is his only mindset and his only focus. And then we'll see if he extends or not.
It seems it's a win-win for him, really, Jules, when you look at it, because he can just play out this season, playing with those two, and then if he does want to go at the end of the season, you know that Real Madrid are desperate to take him.
Exactly, you're so right. And the power that he has is just incredible. He plays with Messi. He scores 40 goals. It's a lot of fun. Him, Messi and Neymar, they click straight away. They win games. They play well. They have fun with each other. It's great. They win the Champions League. And then he's on a free. He's a free agent. He can say, you know what? I've done my time. 5 years. We've won four titles, one Champions League, another final, another semi-final. Now I'm going to go to Real Madrid, for example, which is my ultimate dream. He can also say, this is so much fun. I want to stay another year. And he will be in a strong position to say to PSG, okay, I'm extending, but give me a short extension. I don't want to sign another 5 or 6 years because that will tie me up to the club for too long. Give me a short extension, and I'm sure the club will give him that short extension. He can play a second season with Neymar and Messi, and after that, he can still leave on a free or for very low money to Real Madrid. So you're right. He's in a great position right now to decide exactly what he wants to do, and he can even wait 6 months and see how he goes with Messi and Neymar to make a final decision, let's say, on what his future will hold.
Yeah, which is a good point. Obviously, he can decide sooner than before the year's out. Frank, do you foresee any problems with the egos and the talent in that dressing room all combining?
No, I don't, because everybody will understand, you know, the good thing which can happen, you know, if it goes along very well between the three stars. And Kylian Mbappe is a very smart person, and I'm sure he understands what he has to do and how he has to stand, you know, to make sure that it works. I mean, that story about Real Madrid makes me laugh, you know. How a guy who wants to win everything, who wants to win the Champions League, will be willing to leave the best spot, maybe we will have to share it with Manchester City, but the best spot in the best team in the world, in Europe, to win the Champions League, where, yeah, Real Madrid is a fantastic squad and it's a fantastic club, sorry, but, well, I don't know, everything seems to collapse, you know, in Spain right now with Barcelona and Real Madrid, and I don't see Real Madrid being able to win the Champions League. So if I'm on Mbappe's shoes, I just think, not even twice, I say, well, you know what, I'm going to stay. I'm going to try to win the Champions League. If it doesn't work, as Jules said, you know, within 6 months or a year, I will maybe think another future. But in a year from now, Marcelo, Kroos, Benzema, Modric will be 1 year older. Casemiro, we don't know where Real Madrid is going right now, where I'm pretty sure that Paris Saint-Germain will do everything to win the Champions League. So he's in the right spot. He should be happy to be there. He should enjoy the fact of playing with alongside Lionel Messi. So I don't see him leaving. No way he's going to leave for me.
You seem to be very complimentary of PSG there, Frank.
Well, you know, you have to be happy. I mean, it's going to be good for the Ligue 1. Everybody speaks about football, French football, because of Lionel Messi. Of course, we all know that it's going to be, I guess, easy for Paris Saint-Germain to win the league. But you know, it's an attraction. When you have one of the best players in the world in France, you have to be happy for it. Even if I was the captain of Marseille, I'm happy to see Lionel Messi, to see Neymar and Mbappe in the front line. It doesn't mean that Paris Saint-Germain are going to find the chemistry and it's going to be fantastic and they're going to win with 40 points ahead of everybody else. But Messi, and I've never seen him playing live, is playing for Paris Saint-Germain. And I'm going to see him tomorrow because I'm going to the game to see my former team, Strasbourg. But it's something special. It's really something special to be able to see Messi playing in France.
Of course he's going to see his former team and not Messi.
Aren't we all going to see Strasbourg?
More talk this week on the Gab and Jules podcast. In fact, this week it is Jules Nadim and Robbo, because Gab is still at his Alpine retreat.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, it is time for us to say goodbye. It's been a brilliant day.
Been a long day.
The leagues has been a long one as well. But Shaq is staying around a little longer because he's got your questions to answer in extra time. Stick around for that. Welcome in to the latest edition of Extra Time. This is actually extra time for us as well today,
isn't it, Shaq? This is really extra time.
We've done a very long day of action, but we're happy to be here. Okay, we are also joined by Frank and Robbo as well, and we're happy to have
them. Why are they matching? Why? It's hard enough to tell the difference between you two. You dress the same.
Are you calling them out for the hair?
No, I'm calling them out for the white T-shirt and the black jacket or whatever it is Rob was wearing.
No need for that, it's the Shaq.
He's my fashion icon. Anything that Frank can wear, you've got to wear it because he's just a fashion icon.
I understand that. I totally understand. I get that, Robbo.
Both looking pretty dapper, aren't they? All right. Wesley Ferdus says, and I'll come to you first, Robbo. Arsenal, what went wrong? And realistically, how much longer as Arteta as the gaffer?
Let's make it easy. What went right? Let's go and let's make it easier.
What went wrong? The two centre halves didn't defend well enough. That's one thing. Ben White, if you bring him in for £50 million, he's got to be more dominant than he was in the game against Brentford. When they got it into the front areas, which they did quite a lot, they got it certainly wide to Tierney, who got lots of crosses into the box. There weren't enough players making forward runs. They didn't make good decisions with their final pass. It wasn't a terrible performance. In terms of creating opportunities, they had 22 shots. But if you don't defend well enough as two centre-halves and you don't defend the long throw that comes into your box well enough, you're going to lose football games. As to your second question, Arteta's probably got about 10 games. If he doesn't win six of those, he's going to be in trouble.
Oh, well, they're piling in on Arsenal today, are the viewers. Tayasi Ahmed says, Shaka, do you think Arsenal gets relegated?
No. Listen, it's not great that you're losing opening day of the season to a newly promoted team, but no, Arsenal are not getting relegated. I still think Arsenal finished top six.
But Kate.
Seventh.
Okay, I think people are getting very worried right now, and because Shaka is right. You know, the opening day of the Premier League, and everybody's making already statements, and where, you know, should give a chance to the products, let's say. But two seasons ago, Arsenal ended up eighth in the league. This last year, again, eighth in the league. And we see the first game, and you say, well, you know, if you're an Arsenal fan, you feel that it won't be a good season. And for Arsenal standards, it's not where you want to see them, you know, ended up. So it's why everybody's worried. And they need a reaction very quickly, especially for Arteta.
What are your thoughts on it, Frank? Do you think he's in trouble?
Yes, and I would say sooner than the Robbo thinks. I think if we don't see, you know, improvement, if we don't see improvement, you know, the way they defend, but also the way they hold the game, I think I give three or four more games to Arteta before leaving.
Does that help change your mind, Robbo, or are you still going with 10?
I'm still going with 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got a couple of hard games coming up. Every time you write Arsenal off, you think it's going to be the end of a manager, they usually come up with a couple of good performances. And that's probably what Arsenal would do again. And it gets everybody hanging on. The Arsenal supporters, well, maybe this is the turning point. And then 3 weeks down the road, they perform badly again and everybody wants Arteta out. I think he's going to be under a lot of pressure very early on in the season. About 10 games, I would give.
So it's only fashion advice that Robbo takes from Frank, not football.
From Frank Lever.
That's true.
All right.
Okay, you're right.
Barca fanatic, Shaka, is Brentford getting a spot in your power rankings in place of Rangers?
I heard Don advocating for Rangers, oddly advocating for Rangers after they got knocked out from Malmo, yep. But I don't know how Don drew that parallel. I don't normally do the first season's power rankings till 3 or 4 weeks in. If they keep it up, I'm going to put them in just because. if they somehow are still in the top three after three or four games, Brentford are in.
Maybe their only chance to put them in now, though.
Yeah, but I don't. Not everybody's starting this weekend. I normally wait three or four games.
You're not giving out participation medals then in the power rankings.
Well, if they participate well enough for 3 or 4 weeks, they'll be in.
All right, fair enough. Frank Leboeuf asks Frank Leboeuf. Frank, does having numerous foreign players of the same nationality at one club improve a team's performance? Will PSG have better chemistry with four Argentine players and an Argentine manager?
I would think yes, you know. I think we saw the experience of players in being from the Netherlands and playing for Barcelona many times, and it worked. And I remember also the three Dutch playing for AC Milan, and it worked. So I guess, you know, I remember Chelsea being with Zola, Di Matteo, Vialli, Casiraghi, and some others, and it worked. So I guess it can be a plus. It can be a plus, yeah. And you have more Argentine than you have French players for Paris Saint-Germain, that's for sure.
All right, this one keeps...
You missed Arsenal out there when Thierry Henry, Emmanuel Petit,
exactly.
Vieira, Grimondi. There we are. There's another team that had lots of players and they did well.
Look, it's true. Trying to put a positive spin
and forgive
on Arsenal.
Me. And forgive me, be that.
Yep. Those were the days, Robbo.
And you should have come in as the centre-half.
That's the best example.
You're going to be invited back to
Highbury now. Well, I don't know. Arsene Wenger maybe didn't like me. Maybe he didn't like me, you know. Well, you had good defenders.
Well, he didn't like me, that's for sure.
Right. This is one that keeps doing the rounds and it keeps coming back, but it is a very good question. So I'm going to come to all of you on it. And I'll start with you, Shaka. It's the 85th minute of the Champions League final and the score is tied. PSG wins a penalty kick. Who would you select to take it? And don't forget, they've got Sergio Ramos in the team as well.
I got this. Right? So I'm going to defer. I'm going to wait till last.
All right.
Because I've already answered this.
But I've had this like twice now since I've been on with you, I think. All right. Robbo, who's taking the penalty kick for you? Neymar, Mbappe, ooh. Messi, Ramos?
I would have gone with Ramos, but unfortunately I commentated on a game that Spain played not so long ago where he missed two penalties in the same game. So he's out the equation now. And I'm going to go, I know he's not the best penalty taker, he's missed penalties. I would have to go with Messi. He's got the composure, he's got the skill. It has to be Messi.
All right. Frank, what about you?
Well, you know, I'm going to surprise everybody, especially the Neymar fans, but I'm going to go for Neymar. Neymar is maybe the best penalty taker I ever seen. He's really cool.
Very nice.
I don't know if he missed one, maybe one or two, but Neymar for sure.
All right. Barca fanatic back in and says, Frank, who was the best midfielder last season, Kante or Jorginho?
First, I think you forgot to ask Xhaka, who was the penalty taker.
Oh, yeah, sorry,
taker.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Say again.
I went with Sergio Ramos.
You went with Ramos.
I went with Sergio Ramos. I just feel he has been reliable. Never mind what. Only Robbo can say, well, I saw Sergio Ramos miss two penalties, but I'm going to pick Lionel Messi, even though I saw him miss penalties. Only Robbo can somehow confuse me like that. But Sergio Ramos still
gets
my nod.
I like to challenge you, Shaq.
Well, you did that.
Well, Frank, thanks for reminding me of that. Let me now remind you of your question. Yep. Best midfielder last season between these two.
I would go for Kante. I mean, the end of the season of that guy has been absolutely tremendous. And because of him, I think Chelsea won the Champions League. I think people might think about Jorginho because Jorginho won the Euro, won the Champions League, and just won the Super Cup. So in terms of trophy, he has won more than Kante. But really, Kante has been absolutely crucial to the Chelsea win.
So let's get you on that as well, Robbo. Who would you say was the best midfielder between these two last season?
I don't think you need to even sort of contemplate who I'm going to say. Conte, for me, is a magnificent player. I did that game, the two Chelsea games against Real Madrid. He was head and shoulders above everybody else on the field. Frank's absolutely right. He won games for Chelsea. He almost acted as two players at times. Not only did he win balls back, he made interceptions, he went back in between his send-offs, but he also broke forward and got away from Real Madrid's ageing midfield players. There's only one player for me, Conte.
Somebody like a little pun there, contemplate. Kante
plate. Mm. I have no idea what to say.
I'm not that clever, KR.
I think you are.
Did N'Golo Kante win play of the match in both semi-finals and the final of the Champions League? I think I'm right in saying.
Who was top scorer for their side as well, Shaka?
How many of them were from penalty?
I'm not a hater at all.
I'm just asking.
Sounds like anti-Italian sentiment here.
They were all penalties.
All right. Still top scorer though. Anyway, it's been great to have your questions. Thanks so much for sending them in. We thank Shaka, Frank, and Robbo. Don't forget, ESPN FC and Extra Time available daily on ESPN Plus.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.